King Harold IV, a semi-biblical fable. Once upon a time, King Harold ruled a small, peaceable kingdom, often overlooked and largely ignored by the Romans and that other king, his second cousin, King Herod. And that was just fine with King Harold. He enjoyed trying to beat his friends in checkers and taking long walks through the orchards that surrounded the tiny castle where he lived with his wife Doris. The childhood sweethearts lived simply, particularly for a king and queen. Harold was out for a leisurely walk one afternoon, a mosey really, when he came across three men dressed in fine traveling clothes and riding large camels. Harold was friendly to Cornelius, Alterius, and Bob, as he was to everyone, and he invited them to an early supper. As they all enjoyed Doris's tuna noodle casserole, homemade bread, and the mulberry wine Harold had made, the three men explained that they were looking for a king who was being born and that they were following a star to that king. After dinner, the five people all went out and gazed at the bright blue star, and they mused on all its mysteries. When Doris and Harold were alone, she told him that he should accompany the kings on their journey. I couldn't do that, stammered Harold. There's so much to be done here. I'm playing Fred and checkers tomorrow, and I'm... Doris interrupted. You're going to go along. Your checkers will be here when you get back. She packed him a small bag, and Harold saddled Hiccup, his favorite horse. As others in that part of the world were going to bed, the four men boarded their animals and were ready to again follow the night sky when Doris came running from the castle. You have to take the child a gift, she said. Harold and Doris ran inside and frantically looked for something to take. They had no children or grandchildren. Harold very much liked children, but was at a loss of what to give this one. But he did have a favorite food. So he took along one of Doris's famous fruitcakes for the lucky family. This was after fruitcake was invented, but before it was out of style. So this wasn't such a bad choice. Though he really didn't like King Herod, Harold thought it would be a good idea to ask him where the child was. So they headed for Jerusalem. They traveled at night, but it was slow going. Harold's horse, like Harold himself, was old and needed water and rest. Harold dozed as they rode and nearly fell off Hiccup a couple of times. It was when the other three talked about the geeky science stuff that Harold got particularly sleepy. When they arrived at Herod's lavish palace, the king made the four kings wait 2 days for an audience. They were treated rudely and warned not to waste Herod's time. When they finally met the king, they explained what they were looking for, and Herod seemed intrigued. Harold let the younger men do the talking. He was scared of Herod and was thinking of how much he wanted to be home playing checkers right then. Herod consulted with some of his advisors and then told the group to go on to Bethlehem, where the prophets had said the child would be born. And Herod barked that the wise men were to come back and tell him where the child was so he could go visit as well. Bob later had a dream that Herod tried to choke the child, so they never went back. On their way from Jerusalem to Bethlehem a few nights later, Cornelius suddenly yelped and shouted, "It stopped! It's not moving anymore!" Harold, who was dozing on his horse, woke with a start. Cornelius was pointing at the star nearly above them. The three kings got off their camels and started to hop around in an odd little dance. Harold hopped down and, with creaking bones, joined in. They all hugged and even began to cry a bit. Their journey had brought them to that little town of Bethlehem. But it was more difficult than you might think to find a king there. They asked a waitress at the cafe, but she frowned and shook her head. The vendors in the market looked puzzled, and the secretary in City Hall shooed them out, thinking they were jesters in some elaborate prank. They sat on their animals dejected. They weren't sure where to turn. So they watered and fed the animals and got a hotel room and napped. Well, two of them napped. Harold had taught Alterius how to play checkers, and they spent hours battling as evenly matched players. As the sun set, they looked out the window to see the star. Cornelius did more calculations, and they set out with their gifts to find the place, which they assumed was the home of a wealthy family in the suburbs. Cornelius led them through the crowded streets to an inn. They looked at each other, puzzled. Cornelius double-checked his calculations and said, This has to be the place. They were at a run-down bed and breakfast. They knocked, and when a man came to the door, he didn't seem at all surprised to see four kings standing in front of him. "Good evening, gentlemen. Are you looking for a room?" he said. "No, sir. We're looking for a child," said Harold. "Is there a king here?" The innkeeper smiled. "Right this way, gentlemen." They grinned and whispered to each other with excitement as the innkeeper led them to a room in the back of the inn and knocked on the door. "Mary," he called, "there's someone here to see your boy." A young woman came to the door. She also wasn't surprised to see them. "Well, we seem to have more visitors, Joseph," she said to a man in the shadows. "This birth has brought us many strange visitors." She turned to the men. "Sorry, I didn't mean to say you were strange, but we never know who's going to show up." "Is this the child the prophets told of?" asked Bob. "It is," said Mary, who was smiling and had tired, piercing eyes. "This is the child." Joseph, a young man with big, rough hands, was holding the sleeping toddler, who just then hiccuped and sighed beneath a swath of blankets. "We were told to call him Jesus," said Joseph. "He's beautiful," said Harold. "He's just beautiful." The four kings introduced themselves. Alterius, Cornelius, and Bob all bowed at Mary's feet as they said their names. Each time, Mary urged them to take a chair and quit the bowing. Harold came forward and stood before the young woman. "I'm King Harold," he said. "My kingdom is small and humble. I'm honored to be here. I'm not sure what this boy will be king of, but I'm honored to meet him." He was babbling, and Doris would have shushed him by now. Joseph offered to let Harold hold the child. Very gently, the old king took the sleeping boy. Jesus stirred a little, but the nap continued as Mary began to relate how the king had come into the world. It started with an angel's visit to her and Joseph, and then Joseph. The two of them were scared because they didn't know how to deal with such an odd pregnancy. Yet they stayed together, and soon it was time for them to travel for the census. On the trip, Mary was tired, cranky about being great with child, and having to ride a not-so-great donkey. Joseph thought they could stay with his cousin in Bethlehem, but his cousin had gotten booted out of his apartment, so Joseph ran from inn to inn asking for a room. Mary made it pretty clear she wasn't into camping, particularly given her condition. Finally, these innkeepers had said they could stay in their stable. There, among the animals, Jesus was born. It was a difficult birth, and the young family felt so alone in the world. But they weren't alone for long. A bunch of shepherds soon came running into the stable, out of breath and smelling like wet sheep. They had been told about a baby. "Did you have anything to do with the singing angels' herald? Mary asked. He was puzzled and told her he'd never met an angel. She told him the shepherds kept singing these songs they'd heard, including one about harking the herald. I'm not sure what it all means. The shepherds didn't stay long that night of Jesus' birth, but they helped Mary and Joseph find the things they needed, food and clothing. They sang and beat their drums and then ran off to tell others about this baby king they'd seen. Harold told her, "God seems to have sent out your birth announcements with a star and some shepherds." Mary went on to say that the innkeepers felt so bad about a baby being born in a stable that they told Joseph and Mary they could have a room as long as they wanted it. And so the family decided to hunker down for a while before going back home to where their families were. "We really don't know what kind of king he is," said Mary. "This has all been so odd and yet so lovely." The boy awoke and looked up at Harold with a smile. The child's eyes were sparkling and clear as the bluish star that had brought them there. And inside, something moved like it can when a baby looks at you. And Harold started to cry. On his arm was a child, like the one he'd wanted all those years ago, the son he and Doris wanted for their kingdom. Here was a baby God, somehow sent for another kingdom. Harold wasn't bitter. He simply looked at this baby. He was so happy to be holding a little piece of God, a mysterious little boy who had come into the world in strange and beautiful ways. Harold felt like he was holding a gift who would be revealed. The kings brought out their gifts. Altarius opened a jeweled box and frankincense filled the air. Cornelius gave myrrh and Bob had a good amount of gold. Mary was overwhelmed with the gifts and she said thank you many, many times. Harold put down Jesus to crawl on the floor and retrieve the fruitcake. He was embarrassed by the humbleness of his gift, but he handed it to Mary, and she unwrapped the cake, and the smell of spices and sweet fruit was in the air. He and Doris had picked the fruit, except for the maraschino cherries. Someone else had manufactured those the same way they are now. Mary opened the package, not sure, and looked up, not sure what to call it. The look on her face indicated that she'd never encountered such a lumpy little loaf. "It's a fruitcake," said Harold. "My wife Doris made it, and I helped." Mary smiled. "It smells wonderful, King Harold," she said. Joseph brought a plate and a knife, and Mary cut the cake for all of them to share. They murmured as they took bites and told Harold how good it was. He was relieved. At least they had enjoyed it, but he still wished he had brought more. Mary gave small bits to Jesus as he sat on the floor. Harold watched in amazement as Jesus broke apart what seemed to be a single maraschino cherry over and over again and put the pieces on a pile on the floor. It was time for them to say goodbye. Altarius, Cornelius, and Bob had found their way to the mysterious baby king and were clearly thrilled and puzzled. The quartet of kings said their goodbye, each pausing over the child. Harold leaned over and pulled Jesus into his arms again. As he kissed the boy on the forehead, Harold's tears fell again, landing on the baby's cheeks. Harold set Jesus back down, and the four kings filed towards the door. "Thank you. Thank you all," Mary called to them. And then she grabbed Harold's sleeve. "Thanks especially to you, King Harold. Jesus and I needed a grandpa right now. Your kindness was an immense gift today." And as she hugged him tightly, he felt as if the sun was shining on his face, his heart, and all the way to his crinkly old toes. Somehow, his kingdom and the questions about its future didn't matter so much, and experiencing the mystery was more important than solving it. The tears ran faster and thicker down his face. Encountering this child and his family was a gift he would always have. He wouldn't ever feel the same about fruitcake, babies, or the mysterious God he'd heard so much about on this trip. He couldn't wait to get home to tell Doris.